Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
It's a Friday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have five rounds in the magazine. But before we get going, I want to talk to you guys about something. I told you a couple weeks ago about my health issues that I was having, doing a little shaky-dakey, some what was thought was Parkinson. It came to be essential tremors and all that. They switched my medicine, and all that stuff has stopped. I haven't been shaking as much at all, like unless I'm like really, really fatigued, which is great.
Sound the applause.
So, but I have something that has changed with the new medicine that I'm on. I'm talking vivid, vivid dreams, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Super vivid. And lots of them go way back into the old memory bank. Almost every night this week, I've had dreams that I was hanging out with my friends from high school in weird locations that we've never been. Like last night, I think it was, I don't know what country we were in, but it looked like the coast of Mexico, where I was hanging out with my buddies, Kristen and Lauren, and Bo was there too.
Oh, long time, Bo.
Oh, brick by brick, Bo Brown. And we were just having a great time, all my high school buddies. And there was one point where they were like, "Chaps, you're getting too far out into the water." And I thought, in my dream, I thought, that's weird that they call me Chaps. They didn't know me as Chaps. They only knew me as Matthew. That's very strange. And so I floating out, and it honestly, when I woke up, I felt like I was just floating in the ocean, just like sitting there. And I woke up feeling like I had legit went on vacation. Have you guys had dreams that are that vivid?
I have to tell you, one time I had a dream so vivid where I too was floating out in the ocean. And this voice was like, because I love
pee yourself.
Yeah, I love peeing in the ocean. And this voice, it was like the voice of God was like, "Go ahead, Kate. Take a piss." And I was like, "All right,
buddy. So I hope you pee your bed."
I just let out the longest, most relaxing, loveliest in the ocean piss. Then I woke up, and I was in like high school. This wasn't even because of medication. I was in high school, and we were at the Delaware Bay. I was staying at a friend's vacation house, and I had to go in like 10th grade and be like, "Mrs. Quinn, like ripped an enormous piss in your daughter's bed." Yeah. So anyway, that was cool.
Is there anything worse than pee in the bed as a teenager or adult?
No.
Yes, I actually told it on one of the very first episodes of the Chapman's Cake Show when it was the High Hater Show. I think Casey was on there. And I spent the night at my buddy's house who lived in a trailer. And that doesn't really have anything to do with anything. But
you just wanted to dump on your buddy.
Yeah, I don't even remember what his name is or what he looked like, but I remember being there. My mom let me spend the night at his house. I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and it was one of those houses that this is one of the biggest reasons why I was averse to having cats as a pet when I was younger, because this trailer smelled like straight-up cat piss. Mm. When you would walk in, and that smell of cat piss is so distinct and so profound when the litter is not taken out enough, this place smelled like it. Well, we spent the night. I felt like almost overwhelmed the entire time with the stinking of this place. I woke up and had shit my pants big time while sleeping. It looked like somebody had dumped several buckets of chocolate pudding into my pantalones.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And so I got up.
Subconsciously, you were trying to battle the cats, you know?
Probably. It was probably a battle of who's the alpha, me or the cat. Mm-hmm. And so I took off my underwear, tied it up, put it underneath their sink, and called my mom and had my mom come and get me.
Oh, my goodness
and
gracious.
Left.
Oh, yeah.
And just never said anything about
stashing
it. And they never said anything either. Imagine
stashing a pair of dirties is like a kid's version of smuggling. You're trying to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I tried to rinse it out a little bit in the sink, but it wasn't coming out.
Yeah. No,
anyways, we got
that.
Anyways, well, but hold on real quick. We had a little scuttle dust up this morning. We had a response based on last episode when Chap said he thought Trista Crick shooting in 76 was a phony baloney, and Trista responded to Chaps. Chaps, your thoughts on Trista's response?
I have no thoughts whatsoever. She said that she has played more than once in 2 years, and she played a dozen times last year. If that's the case, Trista needs to stop blogging. She needs to stop doing all this stuff and attempt to be a professional golfer. If she can go out and consistently shoot a 74 to 76 with only playing once a month for a year, you just got to give up blogging and you got to take the Caleb Presley route and try to become a professional
golfer.
Still
sounds to me like someone's being a bitter Betty.
But I'm not bitter. I don't care if she's good. I'm just saying if she is that good, go out and get millions, lady. Like, go out and play on the LPGA and get millions of dollars.
Yeah, I would also like to comment on a beef from last week. And Chaps, I will be talking to Cons specifically through you. I will not be speaking directly to him. So
okay. I'm ready to take that.
Please tell him. Yeah, I said he's a big dumb. No, I'm just kidding. Everyone, we're fine. Cons is the bigger person than I, and actually came into the office. And we actually had a fist fight about it. The winner, it was me. And I'm just kidding. But yes, we're all good. And even though he hates women, we'll still.
Well, number
again,
one, I do not.
Kidding. I know. I'm just kidding.
No, but you know, it's crazy. People have to understand upwards of 300 episodes. And Kate, I think you've been a part of at least 200 of them at this point. You're bound to have some sort of disagreement that one
it's
person
like a
gets
weird
a little.
Family, honestly. Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah.
I'm the mature one in the group, which speaks volumes about our show.
Yeah. But I swear to God, we were talking, Chaps and I, on the Chaps and Kate show the other night. We were talking about therapists and finding the right one and how much of a pain in the ass it can be sometimes. And I was thinking there should legit be, like, you know how there's family therapists? There should be, like, a podcast therapist that helps podcast groups get through their shit. Because you're right, after you're together long enough, you have your little tics that drive people nuts. You have this and that. But again, end of the day, family, love you.
Honest
all.
To God, Kate, we should do that. We should do Therapy Wednesdays on the Chaps and Kate show, where we just give people advice like we're licensed psychologists.
Okay.
I think we have pretty good advice. Well, I feel like I have pretty good advice.
Okay. Don't brush your teeth, people. It's the man trying to
put
the toothpaste.
And the fluoride will get into your brain.
It's the bourgeoisie trying to put messages into your gums.
It's big dental coming after you.
Yeah.
Honest to God, how successful would Kate be on the InfoWars Network?
Like, oh my God. So you know, I should. I really should just to see how
you
far
should.
I can go.
Like
frogs.
Tell Dave, have a little negotiation in your pocket. Tell Dave Portnoy, like, hey. You either pay me double, or I'm going over to InfoWars, and I'll sell brain vitamins.
QAnon, the Wayfair kids in the cabinets.
Don't say that
people.
On the podcast. We don't want those crazies in our.
Okay.
Sorry, just to harken back. Last thing I'll say, I would like to extend an invite to Trista to play golf anytime she would like to play. I'd like to play with her.
I'm down.
Yeah.
But those are very. You have to get on her time schedule, which is only once a month or every other month. So
oh,
you don't,
my
you don't know.
God, you salty hell. Get out of here.
I'm just going to try to make Kate think that I hate women, too. Let's move on to round number five. Or nope, we're going to move into what the rounds are today. Round number one, we got the latest from the USS Bonham Richard is what I was saying. People came to me and they were like, oh, dude, it's the Richard. Shut up. We're not
who
French
would,
here.
I'm sorry.
This is
who
the
would,
Bonham Richard.
Who would see the word Richard written out and just automatically assume
right.
It's Richard?
I've been around so many ships that I know the pronunciation of a fucking French name.
Yeah.
It's Richard.
I've been calling it the USS Bomb Dick.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's Richard, and I'm drinking a full body Malort. Mm-hmm. That's what's going on. Anyways, it's still burning. We asked sailors, what happens to sailors assigned to a ship that are lost? Because that's not something that I've ever really thought about.
Yeah.
Like, if your ship goes down and you're in port, where do you go?
Especially during COVID.
There. Yeah, like, what do? You just kind of hang out? You get limbo for a while? Because if that's the case, that'd be pretty sick. I know like a bunch of sailors hopped into our mentions and they were saying, oh, it's terrible whenever your ship goes down, obviously because certain people are injured and things like that. But you love your ship. You treat that thing like your baby.
Oh, yeah.
Like you look at that, it's like your home. And I guess I had that with like the kennels that you're proud of how it looked and you did beautification and upkeeping and things like that. But if your ship goes down and nobody's hurt, you got to be thinking, I could go bowling every day. I don't mind that.
take a little break.
Yeah. I could play golf with Trista Crick.
I say bowling because that's like the Navy version of PT. That's group PT together. Round number two. As Kate's peace offering to Cons, she's going to do a round of fun Army facts for everyone. And she'll also allow them to have two fun facts about the Army-Navy game, but no more than that. Round number three, we have updates on the Vanessa Guillen case, along with news regarding PV2 Gregory Weddell Morales, whose remains were found during the search for Guillen. He had been listed as a deserter, but new evidence shows otherwise. Round number four, mess nights can certainly get messy, but across the pond, they sound like an absolute shit show, especially where one sergeant got drunk at a race course, and guess what? She headbutted a colleague in the motherfucking face.
Get him, ma'am. Get him.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Kate nailed this description. She said that this lady looks exactly like Miss Trunchbull from Matilda. Oh, longtime stoolie Matilda, by the way.
Oh, brick by brick.
Yeah, and round number five, finally. U.S. military recruiters are using online gaming to recruit teens, but one journalist is pulling an echelon right and fighting back in the comment section and claiming it's predatory practice. Could someone in the Fortnite land continue to sign up? We needed to bring back Radio Brent for this segment because he's a...
I know.
Oh, McCartney's a big-time Fortnite player now.
Maybe they could drop in. Watch out. Somebody might get him sign up for the Navy or something.
So I've talked a little bit about McCartney on this show, where they are big time intense personality.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be shocked if they were a drill instructor at some point because they like to scream.
Oh my God. Constantly McCartney is a drill instructor.
And will be in your face in a second. Won't back down for a fight, even if it's me and McCartney standing in a living room. If we're going, because we both have pretty hard-nosed personalities, face-to-face, me versus them, standing there, McCartney will not back down, ever. Well, they recently got into Fortnite because all their little buddies are playing Fortnite. And we plug in to where they have a microphone and talking, screaming, go around the back, go around the back, get the gun, like going full out ape shit. Oh, my God. If you're a recruiter, it's like McCartney should be one of those kids that when they're like 8 years old, where John Calipari sees these kids at like a AAU camp, and like, that's what I need. A recruiter needs to come over now and sign a national letter of intent for like the Army or the Marine Corps. For
and not to mention that they have the most, for their age, the most wide cornucopia of cuss words at their disposal. I mean, the kid can cuss.
Yeah. Oh, imagine McCartney in the smoke pit. My God.
Speaking of McCartney, speaking of the smoke pit, Kate, your reaction to McCartney's video commenting on you starting to cigaretting again.
Good counseling there. Good counseling session by McCartney.
There's something about an extremely adorable kid shaming you that actually really hurts. And so I have not cigaretted since then. Walking home about 2 or 3 days ago, more than anything, I've been a little stressy messy lately. I don't know if everyone could tell. I'm not sleeping at night. And I'm eating a ton of chocolate. I'm gaining weight. I'm not brushing my teeth. My pet's up. So anyway, I really, really wanted to buy a pack of cigarettes. And I'm the kind of person where if I want to do something, I just fucking do it no matter how bad it is for me. And so I didn't do it, which is very difficult for me.
Let's get a live reaction from McCartney. I'll grab him right now.
Okay. Yes! Yes!
All right.
This is what you sign up for when you hit that subscribe button on Zero Blog 30.
This is true. Long time still.
Here we go.
Okay, you're going to be on the podcast, so you got to talk loud, okay?
Wait, what? I'm going to be on podcast. Hi, McCartney.
Yes! Zero Blog 30. Okay, Kate has something that she wants to say. We have McCartney on the microphone. You gotta talk loud, okay?
Hey, McCartney, I got big news for you. I saw your video about me cigaretting and that I should stop again, and I have decided to listen to you. I am done. I'm officially done cigaretting, and it's all thanks to you, so I really appreciate your words of wisdom.
Yay!
Well said.
Yeah, well said.
Are you proud of Kate?
Yeah.
You wanna tell her anything? Give her a pump-up speech that she can do it.
I'm glad that you stopped cigaretting.
Talk like a big person. You can do it.
I'm glad that you stopped cigaretting because you can also kill a lot of animals, like deers, especially deers.
That's true. I can get all sorts of animals in here now. My cat's not going to be smoky. If I get a deer, it's not going to be smoky. So that is a very good thing. For to leave us on the podcast, what's your favorite cuss word?
B word.
You can say it.
Bitch.
All right. All right. Well, I'm not going to be a B word that smokes anymore. Thank you so much, McCartney.
Kate, stop cigaretting.
Thank God. Yeah.
Woo-hoo. Now, if we could only get her to brush her teeth.
Yeah. I know.
So, Kate, she also has to brush her teeth every day.
Yes, I have to brush your teeth every day.
Oh, come on. Come on. For how long?
2 minutes.
Two minutes.
That's right. Oh, sheesh. This is really coming down on me now. This is tough.
With promo code QUIP, quip.
What? What?
All right, that's good. See ya.
Thanks, McCartney. Good job.
Yeah. Will you shut the door, hon? There you have it. Today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at Manscaped.
Ah.
Manscaped. If you need your ball bag shaved up, then you can do that with Manscaped.com. They are an amazing group of people that have made shaving much more easy. Cons, you got one in the mail, right?
I did, in fact. Yes, I had no idea it was coming, which was a very nice surprise when I did get it because it came in its very nice packaging and a little holder, and it's just very fancy.
And they not just that. They sent me a beautiful, like, dude manicure set, but obviously it works for anybody, but it's, like, the heavy-duty stuff. That's really good stuff. So my nails actually look good for the first time in forever. So thanks to Manscaped. Who knew?
Yeah, I'm going
to
give myself
got some compliments on Twitter the other day. I was posting a picture, or on Instagram, I think. I was posting a picture of my wife giving her little lesson that she was doing for work, and I had used it on my toes, and I had a lot of creep shows popping into my DMs, be like, them feet, chaps, them feet looking good.
Mm-hmm. Now, Cons, I would imagine officers, you know those fancy bushes that you see at the British Gardens that are like shaped like a dove or some sort of horse or something? Mm-hmm. Is that what you guys do with your pubes?
Yes, it is, in fact, exactly what we do in various shapes. And it's never just unkept. It's always very neat and tidy and fun shapes at times.
Yeah, see, the enlisted have their pubes more fast and loose. So Manscaped people, try and get on the officer.
Speak for yourself. My pubes are high speed, low drag. Thanks to our friends at Manscaped. They have forever changed the grooming game with their Perfect 3.0 package. The Perfect 3.0 kit comes with the Essential Lawnmower. It's waterproof, folks. You can take it into the shower. It's a cordless body trimmer and ton of other liquid formulations to form your manscaping or ladyscaping routine. This is the best trimmer on the market for those that you need to have a chest shave too. This is the third generation that features skin-safe technology to reduce manscaping accidents, which is true. Like, you look at it and you think, there's no way this doesn't cut my ball bag open. There you go. A couple minutes later, you have a ball bag with no cuts. Unbelievable. For a limited time, subscriber get two free gifts, which include the Shed Travel Bag, which is a $39 value, and the patented high-performance reducing chafing Manscaped boxer briefs, and get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code zero at manscaped.com. Do yourself a favor and always use the right tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code zero at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the promo code zero to trim your chesticles with the besticles, my friends. Let's get going with round number one. We're going to head out to San Diego, and no one is going to make a whale's vagina joke. That's a promise that we'll make to the listeners. Kate, what's happening out there?
First, can I say something else really quick before we start this round?
Does it have to do with chesticles?
It has to do with penises.
Okay.
Okay. So I went down a rabbit hole the other day. There's that follower, Jane,
Sergeant Jane Doe?
At Sergeant Jane Doe, and she posted something that I didn't know. Sorry, you have me thinking about balls and stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that, you know those famous the Italian boys choirs, the whatever?
Yes.
That are famous from like the 1500s? You know the ones that are like, super high-pitched, highest-pitched sound? You know what they used to do to make sure that those particular note, like the high-pitched voices guys, stayed that way forever?
Can I guess?
Yes.
They did castration.
They chopped their dicks off, yes.
Ugh.
If you were a good enough singer in the choir and you had that high-pitched voice, they would chop your dick off. So you.
I'm going to be honest.
I don't think that works.
I don't think I believe that either.
I swear to you.
I bet it's true.
She sent me down a rabbit hole. I Googled it because if they do it young enough, you get your body doesn't change the way, and then you have this voice that like,
I mean, imagine being out there. You're out there singing Oh Holy Night with the fucking best of them. You're getting after it. You're hitting the high notes, and then you're the fucking mate. What are they called? The maestro comes up to you, and he's like, all right, listen, Brad, what we need you to do, we need you to take your penis out. We're going to chop that motherfucker off so you can hit that high note forever.
Awesome. Thanks.
Good
yeah,
to
cool.
go.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm sign like, me up.
Roger that.
As soon as they put me in a boys choir back then, I would have been like, people. I would have been like, I got the deep voice. Sorry, I already switched.
Ba-do, 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 ba-do,
I always like to think of 15th century choir singing the old school Frosty the Snowman. Like, absolutely. I love it. Absolutely love it.
So, anyways. Popular Mechanics, the USS Bonhomme Richard. Is
Richard,
still,
yeah. The Bonhomme Richard.
Still burning, and obviously we're recording this on Thursday, but 5 days after the Navy's amphibious assault ship caught fire in a port in San Diego, the 847-foot-long warship has suffered extensive damage. The photo's coming out. Have you guys seen the photos?
Mm-hmm. It looks like, did you guys watch the Chernobyl documentary?
Yes, honestly.
Whenever they have
right?
the helicopter that goes over Chernobyl and it's like, about to fall out of the sky, then that's the same thing it looks like, a big old crater in the middle of this ship.
Yeah, there's huge holes in the deck of the ship. Like, you can just look down through it and everything is just burnt and gray and dusty from the ash and everything. But there are glimmers of hope as the fire has reportedly spared key areas of the ship, and Navy helicopters have dropped more than 600,000 gallons of seawater on the vessel, dousing the fire and helping prevent flames from spreading.
Can I just say something really quickly?
Yeah.
This just occurred to me. What if there was a way that you could hook up the ship to like some giant cranes, just dunk it underwater, and then bring it back up?
I don't make it, hate
just,
it.
Like, tump it over, like if you're in a river with on a tube, just like tump it over real quick.
I don't, honestly, I don't know why that. They haven't done that yet. I don't know why they haven't thought of it.
Hey, well, Navy, give me a call.
I'm sure they're listening. I'm sure Navy's listening. Longtime Stoolie Navy.
Brick by brick, Navy.
Brick by brick. The ship caught fire in the morning of Sunday, July 12th, in what they believe is the lower cargo area, where, like, maintenance supplies, cardboard, rags, all that stuff that is highly flammable is stored. Mm-hmm. The ship's crew, thank God, managed to escape, and they were all accounted for, but the fire rapidly turned into one of the worst aboard a Navy ship in the post-Vietnam
era. Don't they call that FOB? Foreign object, FOD. Debris.
Okay.
Yeah, because I remember we talked about that on the airline show, and the Navy, everybody that was like a flight person was like, it's called FOD, dude. They didn't make it up. It's been there forever. I don't know. I don't fly planes.
That's right. You're right. There's a lot of FOD in there. No, it's not fodder. That's for sure.
No,
very
that's
serious.
For sure. Yeah.
The ship's, I am such a nerd. The ship's fire suppression system was inoperative. So somebody last week was like, well, why didn't the sprinklers or whatever go off? Well, they weren't even on. There was no sort of fire suppression system at all as part of the vessel's stand-down procedure during a maintenance period. I feel like that's going to be something that changes moving forward.
You know whose fault that was, by the way?
Obama.
No, Office Manager Brett. He's the fire marshal.
Oh,
that's true.
Of course. Oh, my God. Well, the Navy's
OMB.
Initial...
OMB. Still getting us in the rear end.
Yep.
The Navy's initial efforts to contain the fire were frustrated by the condition of the ship, which had electrical and other cables running through key areas to facilitate maintenance while the engines were powered down. The heavy, large cables prevented sailors from closing the doors and other hatches to prevent the fire from spreading. So, right, they couldn't close any of the doors. Oxygen was able to get in and through, and so the fire was able to spread way more quickly. The temperature inside the ship reached as high as 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. So hot
Jesus.
So hot that firefighting ships poured water on the hull in an attempt to cool the interior. Others poured water straight into the ship's interior. And by Monday, because we were talking last week about all the water weight, the ship started listing to the right due to the amount of water inside it. By Wednesday, the Navy had commenced dewatering the ship now and sucking it back out. So much of the damage is internal, though the fire inevitably found a way out. The ship's flight deck is melted completely through. That's the Chernobyl kind of vision you were talking about, and collapsed in several places. The island and the bridge are destroyed. And now over 400 personnel, including local firefighters, federal firefighters, Navy personnel, they're all there fighting the fire. And as of this writing, 63 naval personnel and civilians are injured, none seriously, with the most already discharged, thank goodness. And despite the damage, again, there's some bright spots. The engineering spaces, including the engines, are untouched. The fuel tanks, which have 1 million gallons of fuel, that would have been a fucking nightmare. That is safe.
Well, on some of that, I actually had a high-ranking Navy source, check me out, reach out to me and say that some of this information that's coming out in the news is not exactly accurate. What? There's been
You're telling me the news is inaccurate?
Scuttlebutt?
Well, about this, they're trying to keep it under wraps a little bit, but I don't think I appreciate that. A couple of people have been pretty seriously burned and were in burn units and things like that.
Oh, shit.
And they're keeping it under wraps because the next of kin haven't been notified because they're still doing investigation on what the cause is. There's been some speculation in NCIS that this was not an accident, that it could be a response because they've had several ship fires in that area, and they think that it could be something that is like a foreign attack, that it could be somebody like Iran that is acting out and having somebody with access go in there and start this fire intentionally because the security would have been more lax because it was in port.
Again, I mean, it's pure speculation, but I have seen that going around. I've also seen that there was a welder that this one had something to do with the welder. I saw it had something to do with Iran. I personally think it was someone cigaretting down the ship who flicked the butt and was
classic
not careful.
Navy. Probably a Navy chief coming in off the first PT session that he's had in like 2 years and is just ripping heaters down there. Didn't want to go back up to the top deck because the stairs are hard.
Or it could have been an Iranian spy who was cigaretting down there, stressed out, thinking about setting the ship on fire. They were like, no, I can't do it. And if they have a French accent for some reason, they flick the cigarette and they're like, I'm out. I'm changing my life and my heart forever. But
yeah. Or it could be somebody from Siberia that's just trying to keep warm. And the only way they know how to do it is fire.
Set
like,
a little
nobody
fire
just turn on the heat.
It's cold under the water part of the ship. Yeah. So, I mean, this could be anything. This could be the bourgeoisie. This could be birds. Anyways.
Let's move on to round number two.
Hold on.
We got more.
Get on.
We're not done.
Oh, you thought we... Okay, we're not done. Anyways, people aren't sure whether the ship is actually going to be able to save or not. Again, we're seeing a lot of rumors.
Spoiler alert, it's not. Have you seen the picture?
Right, yeah.
I mean,
USS Crispy Boy. But, Chaps, you asked, and this was a good question. Like, I genuinely didn't think about it and didn't know, and some of the answers are kind of interesting. You said, Navy pals, if your ship burns and you can't return, what do you do and where do you go for work? Ocho Fisho said, when I was in and the ship was there, we had a first lieutenant division on the base. Basically, we picked up trash, loaded chairs into flatbed trucks for ceremonies, and watched Power Rangers and soap operas when it rained. We were done by like 1 o'clock every day, pretty much, 1300. Yeah. So he also said, you also have to treat it like a decommissioning. Enough people to stand watches until a decision is made. Imagine most of the crew is a fire party now, rotating with civilians on and off fire bases. So there's that. Other people just saying, they didn't really answer, but they're saying it made me sick to my stomach. That used to be my ship. It's important to protect
interesting
the ship.
Interesting what this lady, Lainey, said. My boyfriend said they're letting it burn and then putting the pieces on a barge and dumping it in the ocean.
Yeah. No, lucky fish. Lucky fish are about to get a new mansion.
Well,
down
it
there.
Could be true, Kate. They could turn that into a coral reef. They do that kind of stuff all the time.
They could. Pierce Castle said they have to join the Coast Guard, then the brakes. So who knows?
Yeah.
Pete
Navy
Wheeler
Coast Guard, a brotherhood like no other.
Oh, yeah. Pete Wheeler said they go to a pineapple under the sea. And Lucas Jewell said you'll be put on a working party until they can give you new orders or send you TAD. Basically, you're probably stuck in fuck games for quite some time until, because it's like 1,000 people, right? That they have to remove around now. So who knows how that's going to go. But sending them good vibes. I know that's got to be a pretty shit situation. So who knows? Or Chaps, it's maybe like you said, and the Navy's like, hey, friends, just go on vacation for a month. Here's a ticket to Hawaii.
And there's no better time to go on vacation than right now with coronavirus raging in many of the states across America.
Yes.
That's a great time. Yeah. Go out and nothing like having a little party, a little fire party where you're hanging around, sitting around with your sailor pals, just eating a big old bowl of Goya beans.
Play a little console hockey with the locals.
Yeah, nothing gets the party going like some Goya beans. Mm. Let's move on to round number two. What do we got, Cons?
Well, I think Kate would like to take this round.
I'll go ahead and take this round. And it's from a very reliable source called bestlifeonline.com.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So you know they know their military shit. I'll be honest. As I made this list, I said, I don't know if these are true or not. But again, it's the Army, so I don't really care. Anyways, number one, this is for you, Cons. Did you know that George Washington chose the Army's dress colors?
No, I didn't, actually.
So apparently, I'm just picturing him sitting in a little boutique being handed color swatches, and he's going, love, hate it, love it, hate it, and he picks it out for you guys. He chose the, there's a million cop cars going by my apartment right now. George Washington chose the Army's dress service colors in 1779 They've tried many other schemes over the years, but in 2010, they went back to Washington's pick.
Well, what'd they do for the first 3 years? Just wear whatever the fuck they wanted to? Everybody's undisciplined?
Undisciplined.
I think that's all they had. They had Filthy just the clothes McNasty. On their back.
Disgusting.
Yeah, gross, nasty little worms. Number two, there have only ever been five-star generals in the U.S. Army. Is that true? And also,
yes, Hans, name them.
General Marshall, Eisenhower, MacArthur, Arnold, Bradley? Omar? Did I say Omar Bradley?
I think you got Bradley. It. Holy shit. Now, I have a question. So what? I thought 4 stars is the top.
Good job, Gons.
I know, really. That's impressive. You're at four stars, and they're like, but wait, this guy's like so good. Can we just give him an extra star? Is that how this works?
Yes. Extra gold star.
Was Schwarzkopf never won?
No, because it was something they stopped doing. It was something that got enacted during World War II, and then they realized, Kate, kind of to your point, it's like, do we really need somebody with that one extra star? Not really, so they stopped doing it.
Do you know something I found out about generals recently with all the hubbub about General Miley going out to with President Trump to the church? Did you know that all the other the chiefs of staff aren't in the chain of command of Miley? Like, they don't report to him.
Well, I'll tell you this much. Miley came in like a wrecking ball in this administration. He really did.
What? Yes. It came in like the rain.
But isn't that strange? Like, that yes, he's the chairman of Joint Chiefs, you would think he would be in charge. It's not.
Yes. At all.
I didn't know that, Chaps, actually. That's weird.
But also, weird. What kind of big dick energy do you have to look around at the other 4 stars and be like, I'm a little bit better than this, honey?
So. Oh, I would do it in a second. Data rank, baby. That's what I'd be all about. Yeah, absolutely. I'd be like, no, how about parade rest there, General Dumford?
This next one.
Yeah. You gonna drop a sir on that?
Open your bitch ass mouth, General. No. Yeah. Anyways.
Good. Firewatch, General.
Yeah, good. So number three, if I had known about this when the recruiters were rolling through, I might have gone this a ways, because this sings very deeply to my heart. The Army has a unit of skeptics. Graduates from Fort Leavenworth's University of Foreign Military and Cultural Studies have been trained to play devil's advocates to avoid the pitfalls of groupthink that's happening in the military. So they're trained to be devil's advocate. They're trained to be the, I hate to be contrarian here, but like they're trained.
I mean, that's a senior lance corporal or a specialist in every unit.
Yeah, they're doing the opposite of Message to Garcia here. They're unlearning Message to Garcia and going the other way around. And I want in. I would love in on this. I could just bitch at you guys all day long.
Actually?
It's they find the way they recruit these people is they find the best actuallys on the internet, and they grab those people and bring them in.
They just have a constant search for well actually comma.
Yeah. Well, they're actually called Chaps, they're called Red Teamers, and they have name and everything, and it's a real thing. So I'm interested. I would love to talk to somebody who's been on this before.
Some are saying that's because they're taking the red pill.
I wonder, too, if they have to have this special designation because it gives them a certain freedom to be like, excuse me, sir, here's why I'd say you're wrong. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like not everybody's allowed to be that
skeptic. It's
got to
be like football when you wear the yellow practice jersey. You can't hit them.
Can't get touched.
Yeah, you have to leave. So I would imagine that's what that's like. And also, 16 U.S. presidents served in the Army. And Cons, name them all in order, please.
Mm-hmm. I definitely don't know 16. That's one thing I don't. I honestly don't know presidents well at all. I never have. Washington.
I still get surprised every now and then when a president's name will come up on Jeopardy. I'm like, huh?
Right?
That guy's a president.
Let me see. I'm not looking. Washington, Eisenhower, Grant. I think Reagan was in the Army.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's all I got.
You're right. There's some on this list I never heard of. 31 presidents overall have been in the military in some shape.
Isn't that
or form.
Sad? There's only been 45, and there's just a couple. 31. There's several that we don't even know. Yeah. Like every time somebody's like James Buchanan was a president, I'm like, shut up. There's no way James Buchanan.
Yeah. You made Washington, that up. Washington, James Monroe, Buchanan. Jackson, Harrison. I had no idea we had William Henry Harrison. Who the fuck is that?
Yeah, right. Who's that guy?
Zachary Taylor. Who? Franklin Pierce.
Oh,
what?
Zachary Taylor. Look at Zachary Taylor. Zachary Taylor looks like me, honest to God.
Whoa.
There's two presidents that look like me, I think. Zachary Taylor is one, and the other one, sadly enough, Andrew Jackson.
Looks like you.
Oh. Yeah.
Yikes. Well, there's also Franklin Pierce and Andrew Johnson. Never heard of the guys, am I right? Ulysses S. Grant, Rutherford B. Hayes, Garfield, Benjamin Harrison, what? William McKinley?
Yeah, Benjamin Harrison's never thought of.
It sounds like a... Like he sings those songs like,
Emo.
Folk songs?
Yeah, like up next, Benjamin Harrison.
The actual name of the dude who's in Dashboard Confessional is Benjamin Harrison.
Exactly, yes. That's exactly what I'm going. William McKinley, Theodore Roosevelt, Harry Truman, Dwight Eisenhower.
Oh, good old Teddy, yeah.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan. So there you have it. Those are the ones. Okay. And finally, and this one I thought was very interesting.
I'm surprised Reagan is. Reagan looks like shit in sweatpants. Usually military guys look good.
I know.
That picture of Reagan on Air Force One when he walks out, and he's wearing sweatpants up to his fucking nipples. Man.
Absolutely.
In his defense, I think he was like 72 at the time.
But what would you think if Reagan was actually a nipple suspenders guy, where he had like nipple rings, but they were just kind of like alligator clips, and they just kept his sweatpants up?
Yeah, I think about that a lot, chaps.
Yeah,
I really do.
Yeah, anyways,
number five, the last one. The army owns about 24,000 square miles of land. If the army was a state, it would be the 42nd largest. Which makes it bigger than Hawaii, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Connecticut,
see that
and
you
Rhode Island.
That was you doing some mental judo. I'm not taking that. You got to say the army would be the 8th smallest state. You can't go the other way around.
You're right. You're
42nd
right.
largest makes it seem huge. Right. It would really be the 8th smallest state.
Well,
it
would that's a good point.
It would be the 40. Yeah, it would be right. Yes, it'd be the 8th smallest state, but it would be bigger than those states. So watch out, Delaware, Connecticut, New Jersey, New Hampshire. The army could take you. Army could take you on. So cons, go ahead and say your army.
All right. Well, one thing that's interesting that's really current in the news right now is there are some rumors swirling that if college football doesn't happen this year, there might still just be one game, and it would be the Army-Navy game. So that would be interesting because I would take my insufferable level and really put it on steroids.
Oh,
so
yeah. Well, boy, beware of that happens. Yes.
That but, would be pretty awesome, honestly.
It would
that
be.
That would be
pretty
sick.
Yes, it would.
Would be. It definitely would be cool. It would stink.
I mean, it
would
be cool
have
that football got canceled because this is a sports company.
Yes.
That would be troublesome for us, too. But it would be awesome to have the only football game of the year. You know the fucking Chiefs and Texans are supposed to have their rookies report in 2 days? You guys aren't playing, dude. You know, why report? What are we doing? You guys aren't playing.
That's crazy.
The schools here in Texas, last thing I'll say about coronavirus, probably not. The schools here in Texas floated out this idea that schools can start with full attendance, but with this caveat. If one kid gets coronavirus in the school, they shut down for 2 weeks and then everybody comes back. How in the fuck would that work?
I don't know. I don't want to be the person who has to figure it out either.
Every day you come back, it'd be like the beginning of the school year, coming back from spring break. 2 days later, somebody else is testing positive coronavirus.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
But parents have to work, dude. Yeah, I don't know. It's a really tricky situation. It's tough. It's tough. Put them all in a bubble. Put everyone in a bubble. Let's go. Mm-hmm. All right, Con, spit them out.
1944-45, Army-Navy. They were both number one and number two in the country. Both years that they played the game, and both years Army beat them to win the national championship. And 1963, Army-Navy game, was the first time in American sports history that instant replay was shown on television.
Whoa, I did not know that. Big time instant replay, lady.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. So that's
can you talk about one more? We'll do it because this is Cons round. Cons, can you talk about your favorite win over Navy whenever you were there?
Oh, yeah. I love that story.
Let's move on to round number three. What do we got, Kate?
All right. So we had talked about this story briefly when we were talking about the Vanessa Guillen case. And so I have this right. PV2 is private, Cons. I don't know the Army,
yes.
Right?
That's, it's private.
Okay, private. So
E2 private.
E2 private. Okay. So just want to make sure I have that right. When they were searching for Vanessa Guillen, we talked about how they had found the remains of another soldier. And so here's kind of the update on that. Fort Hood announced Wednesday that Private Gregory Waddell Morales has been reinstated to active duty. According to the military post, the change in his status entitles him to a burial with full military honors. His mother, Kim Waddell, said Tuesday night she had been notified that the U.S. Army will be reinstating her son based on new evidence. And she goes on to talk about what a huge relief that it was. Fort Hood says the unit remains in contact with the family to ensure they receive the support they need and are entitled to and with the civilian authorities. So now they're really stepping up. He was 24 years old, a native of Sapulpa, Oklahoma, and he was last seen driving his vehicle outside Fort Hood in Killeen on the night of August 19th, 2019. His last known contact was the following day. His unit placed him AWOL status and then declared him a deserter. His mother pleaded with U.S. Army officials she knew something was wrong, saying this wasn't Greg. If investigators had just listened from the beginning, it might not have saved his life, but we would have had a lot more answers. We would have had evidence, there might have been a trial, there might have been people who could remember, you know, videos that wouldn't have been taped over. And he was out processing at the time. So he wasn't out of the military yet, but he was out processing. So the Army pretty much just, you know.
And why would you go AWOL when you're out processing?
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
And so he wasn't out yet, but the Army just said, oh, he's AWOL. Oh, he's gone. And so they didn't really, there's no effort to find him, no effort to do pretty much, anything there. In 2018, his black 2018 Kia Rio was recovered by authorities in January after his family saw on Carfax that someone in the Dallas area had tried to take it in for an inspection. His remains were then found and clean in June, and investigators do suspect foul play. Family members say because he was not a deserver, he should receive proper military funeral, and there was a petition to get him reinstated so that he could be buried with honors. And this is why it's so important. Waddell Morales grew up in a large military family in Oklahoma. His mother said his deserter status devastated them. His grandfather retired as a major in the military, and that this has been really hard on him, that the world would believe that his grandson is a deserter. None of my children were brought up to ever just run away from problems, she said. So, I mean, again, another heartbreaking story out of Fort Hood, where how could you leave this soldier behind and let this happen? And from a family that comes from a strong Army tradition, as part of the Army family, the whole thing's just, so he was dropped from the rolls.
Slap in the face, for sure.
Yeah, so reinstated, and
well, I think it's
no
important
longer
to note that last sentence, they found evidence that shows that he died before they decided they dropped from rolls and declared him a deserter.
Exactly,
thus
yes.
Making him still part of the military.
Right. And
I would be interested, I don't think it says anywhere here in the article, I would be interested to hear what the time frame was from when they decide he was AWOL to deserter. Because I remember, when I had guys who went AWOL, it wasn't, oh, we'll give them a day, 2 days, and then they're a deserter. We went pretty much to the great lengths to make sure that they were found and that they were okay.
I
can't
think
imagine.
You're not supposed to do it to at least 2 weeks. I think 2 weeks is – or maybe it's 30 days.
Okay.
I forget what the actual number is, but I'm pretty sure it's 30 days until
I think
you
it
can
is
be
30
declared
days.
A deserter.
Yeah, I think it is 30 days because it's just that's just not common, and especially now in 2020 or even, you know, in the last 10 years when everybody has a cell phone and you can, you know, really much easier to locate people. It's very, very tough to hear that this happened to this young man.
And especially when the family is saying, we were telling them that's not like him. We were telling them that he wouldn't do this. Like, please, you know, so that's tough.
I am sure that they get that from everybody. Like,
sure.
In fairness, I'm sure, like, you don't call anybody's mom and they'd be like, oh, no, that guy's a fucking piece of shit. He definitely went AWOL.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
But they still have to investigate everybody to the fullest to make sure. Yeah, that's heartbreaking. Which brings me to an update on the Vanessa Guillen case. Cecily Aguilar, who is charged in connection with her death, has been denied bail. Good. Aguilar, age 20, was arraigned on 3 counts of conspiracy in federal court in Waco, Texas, for helping get rid of Guillen's body after she went missing from the military base in April. Her boyfriend, Army Specialist Aaron Robinson, killed Guillen by hitting her in the head with a hammer and then enlisted Aguilar to help him get rid of the body in a shallow grave near the Leon River.
That's so gruesome to kill someone with a hammer. That's terrible.
Also, from Stars and Stripes, the family of Specialist Vanessa Guillen has been invited to meet with President Donald Trump at the White House. They plan to stand in front of the U.S. Capitol and introduce the I Am Vanessa Guillen legislation to address sexual harassment and assault in the military, and then they are going to march to demand justice for Vanessa. The protests will start at the Capitol and end at the White House. That will be on July 29th, it sounds like. And finally, last note on that, because we knew that there was going to be repercussions from this, Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy announced that the service has begun recruiting an independent review panel, which is important, a totally independent, unattached review panel tasked with studying the command climate and culture of Fort Hood. The Inspector General announced earlier this month that a review of the base's sexual assault and harassment program has begun. The bill will create a third-party agency to which service members can report instances of harassment and assault instead of the existing program that requires victims to go through another service member or their chain of command.
That's
it's
so
insane
important.
Even saying it out loud that is still a thing blows my mind. So
I believe the Secretary of the Army actually requested that another Army unit conducted it. And there was a congressman, I forget who it was, on the House Arms Committee that was like, not only no, but fuck no.
Right.
You're not going to do it yourself. Are you? No.
Shout out to both families here, but Vanessa Guillen's family, their push and their refusal to accept the way things were going is creating huge changes in the military. And they're, I call it bravery standing up to, it's an intimidating thing. And I think they're going to help make some really important changes for men and women in the military.
I think it's great to hear that this legislation is getting passed, because obviously sexual harassment and assault is more prevalent than it shouldn't exist, period. So the fact that it is as prevalent as it is in the military is something that it's long overdue to be addressed at this level, that there needs to be – it's a shame that there needs to be legislation to get something to change, to get the culture to change, but I'm happy to hear that there is legislation.
Indeed.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. All right, let's move on to round number four, which is going to be presented by our good friends at Death Wish Coffee. If you haven't tried it yet, it's fantastic. Not only is it super high in caffeine, but it also is delicious, because usually when you hear something high in caffeine, you're like, this is going to taste like ass. Like some of those old shots that they would sell at like gas stations that were designed just to have give you energy for a little while. That's just sugar and shit like that. This is actually legit caffeine from a good source that tastes great. If you haven't tried it yet, you got to, because baseball season is not going to happen. The gym is closed. You can't improve on your game on the back nine like Trista does, and you're waiting for The Bachelor to come back. But you need to have all that with a little bit of coffee in your bloodstream. It'll make you feel good about waking up, getting going. I know Kate does it every single day and night. You see Kate with her Death Wish coffee mug all time of the day.
Honestly, it's the only thing keeping me going anymore. I just had two cups of it.
And it's the best. You know, this is simple of me to say, but I love their logo. If you had a fire logo, I'm giving your company to the benefit of the doubt 10 out of 10 times.
Their t-shirt
and I'm
makes
not
me
usually
feel
a
like
skull and crossbones kind of guy, but this one just looks good. It just looks so clean.
Yep.
So make sure that you go to deathwish.coffee, and you're going to save 15% off your order when you use the promo code VIVA. That's V-I-V-A at the checkout. That's deathwishcoffee.com with the promo code VIVA for 15% off. Viva La Strong Coffee. Viva La Stool. All right, let's move on to round number four, which has to deal with a lady. Can we say, what should we say? Should we say?
I'll tell you this much, and we're not ripping on her looks. She's, she is built like a brick house. There, I'll say it. You couldn't knock her over if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
This woman has got a strong center of gravity, and she looks like she could bend steel into a pretzel, okay?
I have twig lance, I have twig ankles. She has tree trunk legs.
Yep, she could take you out. She could knock you out. Yes. All right. She's beautiful. She could fuck you up. Okay.
Yeah. We're all beautiful. What happened with her, Cons?
Wow.
You don't say anything troublesome, Cons.
Oh,
got it. Got
you
it.
Like a hawk, buddy.
Got our eye
got
on
it.
You.
It's all on you.
Listen,
from here.
Listen. You don't want to get drunk around this lady, because if there was a female sergeant who got drunk on a booze-fueled Army social event at a race course and headbutted a male colleague in the face.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who among us? Who among
us? It's happened to everyone.
In fairness to her, this is a very soccer-dominant culture, and they're much more used to using their heads than we are.
Yeah,
this is true.
Hooligans.
This is true.
Even at the race course.
Michelle Cook, she became so incensed when the male soldier accused her of pushing a colleague. She then lashed out at him in the heat of the moment.
It was the heat of the moment. Smashing your face with my own face.
A court martial heard there was
that
a
was
loud.
Terrible.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
A court martial heard there was a loud thud when aggressive Sergeant Cook headbutted Gunner Jermaine Jamoth while keeping her drink in her hand.
Yes,
important
bitch.
To know.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Bitch.
Important to know.
Wait. I'm sorry, Cons.
Didn't spill a drop.
What drink? What drink is she holding in her hand when she does this? What
drink? My goodness. Did it say? Or are you asking what we think it is?
In my head, I know what I think it is.
Oh,
in
I know,
head,
too.
It's
what,
a
do you,
pint.
What do you think,
I
Kate?
Think it's a pint.
I think it's a triple of Jameson on the rocks.
Oh.
What do you think?
I was going to go with the fucking Illinois special Malarts.
Oh, a Malarts. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. The wormwood liqueur.
Jaeger bombs. Fucking Jaeger bombs.
Jaeger bombs.
Jaeger bombs. I'll fucking head you, Jaeger bombs.
Yeah. Jaeger bombs.
Not right now, Chief. I'm in the zone.
Yeah, she was indeed in the zone.
That's a little internet 1.0 for those who remember. Anyway, a judge warned sergeants do not behave like this and blasted her.
Disagree.
Okay. Okay, judge. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Ooh.
This is not the way that enlisted personnel should be treated.
Oh, are getting rowdy again.
Oh, the sergeants have lost control of the unit. Oh, we need officers to step in and stop such shenanigans.
Anyway, she got blasted for her disorderly and unpleasant outbursts, which senior soldiers like her are meant to prevent. That's true. Sergeant Cook, who was also described as compassionate and caring, had drunk heavily at the Army social outing at Catterick Race Course last year. So she had a history of getting a little boozed up at this event.
She's like Lao Chun.
Yeah. She's going to corner you and chat for a while, that's for sure. But she's not always going to headbutt yet. So that was a one-off. Maybe.
Apparently, this is an annual booze-filled event, and it's renowned within the Army for its heavy drinking, and that Sergeant Cook and her colleagues had their own marquee away from the public, probably because they had a little bit of a reputation. But anyway, the prosecuting captain said she headbutted Gunner Jamoth after a scuffle broke out in a crowded staircase. He said, on a unit outing, she had too much alcohol and became drunk. That's usually what happens when you have too much alcohol.
Here's my thoughts on mess night and ball-related fights. If the people involved in the fight, if nobody wants to press charges against the other one, and nobody's on light duty for longer than 2 weeks, no harm, no foul.
Can I give you my thoughts on it? I think that every unit outing or mess night or ball, God damn it, these damn kids and their fucking
these
motorbikes
kids
out here.
Kids in there and their rice rockets.
Go haze them, Kate.
Hold on, I'll get them right back. Excuse me.
Hey there, Yoo-hoo.
Hey there, Yoo-hoos. Okay, good. You wanna rip your little tires around my street?
Nasty little fuck.
Here's my thought on military parties. Whatever it is, ball, mess, whatever. There should be a small boxing ring set up at every single one of them with gloves. You see people getting rowdy. Cage your ropes. Guess what, bitch? Get in the ring. Let it out now before you do it in the street in front of the civilians. Let's fucking go. And it becomes
cage
a part. What?
Cage or rope?
Rope. Ooh. I would like to see people against ropes. I would like to see rope.
I'd like to see cage because I think
I gotta go cage.
People
and
be
I'm not talking
drunk,
like UFC cage. I'm
ring.
Talking about Mankind jumping on top of, of the Undertaker.
Yeah, okay. Shout to Mankind.
But I think they should just do it that way. Just knock it out that way. Anyways, I also love that they were all partying on the stairs. I feel like they were in a stairwell ripping heaters. And then things got a little out.
Let me tell you something here, though, about old Sergeant Cook. If your instinct is the headbutt.
Not your first fight.
Fuck yeah.
Not your first fight. And also, you're someone I want to be next to in a dark alley if shit's going to hit the fan.
Yes.
Give me somebody who's ready to throw a headbutt.
Mm-hmm. And so, it sounds like here, someone fell down the stairs and a bombardier was bumped into and his nose started bleeding. Immediately after that, Jamoth tried to intervene and accuse Cook of deliberately pushing that person down the stairs. Her response was quite simply to headbutt him in the face. So people drunk people were stumbling on the stairs, accusing each other, making each other stumble. She's just swinging her head around. And by the way, she looks like her head could crack the fucking Liberty
Bell. Oh, I was just going to say that, but I wasn't sure if it was appropriate or not. She looks like her head is a hard-boiled egg.
Yeah.
Like where she could just absolutely smash through your face.
I love this, though. It's like, hey, you push that guy down the stairs, and then no questions asked, just headbutt.
It's definitely one of her soldiers. Like, they push one of her soldiers. She's like, what the fuck are you doing, you little bitch? Yeah. Come here. Boom. Headbutt. Right in the face. And you're not expecting it. You never expect. That's why a headbutt at the beginning of a fight is such a good move. You're always looking for somebody's hands, if their hands are going to come up, if they're canting their feet to the left or to the right to figure out if they're a southpaw or not. And then they come in with a headbutt. Knockout city.
Yeah. Done. You're done.
By the way, shout to my battle buddy Rab, who punched our commander at our ball when we got home from Iraq. That was a sight. Anyway.
If your ball doesn't have a fight, your ball sucks.
Little Article 93 goofing.
Same with a wedding in the Philly area.
All right, let's move on to round number five. Round number five, talking gaming, folks, because sometimes I have to give the Army credit here. They are doing a good job of moving into the next generation of how to recruit people. and saying things like we have an esports game. That's what these kids love, man. They love going out and playing video games all day. So having that as an option where recruiters could get on there and you could see that they're a little bit chill and laid back, I think it's a great idea. Some people don't think it is such a good idea. Like this one author that Kate found. What happened, Kate?
Yeah, this is from Jordan. It's UHL, Jordan Ewell. Jordan Ewell at The Nation. And it was an interesting take because we look at everything from the military point of view. And mm-hmm. this one is coming at it from a civilian with, it seems like, no military affiliation. Their view of looking at military recruiting through Twitch and gaming streams is not, like you're saying, like, it's a great idea. This is completely the opposite. So I'm going to just read a little bit of what they wrote here. And there's some interesting facts in here, too. So,
and these are also, I just want to reiterate, these are Kate's thoughts as well. She co-signs all this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Libtard Kate.
Yeah. I'm being accused of loving Chung. Yeah, there's a lot going on right now in my world. All right. Here's the article. Here we go. Have a nice time getting banned, my dude. Army recruiter and gamer Joshua Stronium David told me right before he booted me from the U.S. Army's Twitch channel. I had just reminded viewers of the United States' history of atrocities around the globe and helpfully provided a link to the Wikipedia page for U.S. war crimes. Was I undiplomatic? Sure. But if the military is going to use one of the world's most popular platforms to recruit kids, then it shouldn't be able to do so without some pushback. Right now, with the support of Twitch, gamers with the U.S. military are spending hours with children as young as 13 trying to convince them to enlist. The Army, Navy, and Air Force, Marines, I guess, are big slow losers who are not in on this yet.
Do you think we have Wi-Fi? Come on.
We're still playing. We're like, why isn't anybody in our Pong game?
The Marines are still uploading their 500 free hours of AOL CDs.
Yeah. We'll leave an away message cool enough that they're going to want to ask us about the Marine Corps.
Be right back doing pull-ups, LOL.
LOL. Anyways, all the other branches, but the Marines are on Twitch. Using dedicated esports teams. They're comprised of still skilled gamers, tournaments for cash prizes, and they're also on-screen talent and recruiters. So they're not just gamers, they're doing a little bit of both. So instead of approaching a recruiter at a table behind a school in a cafeteria, kids can hang out with one of their favorite gamers and kind of chat with them for hours on end. So Twitch, which has more than 5 billion, with a B, hours watched from April through June, just from April to June, 5 God. Billion hours. Yeah, a lot of people on it. So a typical military stream looks something like this. A recruiter, usually a man in his 30s, sits comfortably in his gamer chair inside a dimly lit room illuminated by a monitor and the colorful LED lights of his computer. An American flag hangs on the wall behind his right shoulder. An oversized stuffed animal sits to his left. You know,
American
if anything,
a recruiter
American in his
30s. Guys.
We're sitting with a large stuffed animal. Yeah, I guess we all have large stuffed animals. Mm-hmm. He's playing Call of Duty or Valorant. He's friendly and talks about how much he loves being in the Army, which, okay, that's not the full truth there by anybody.
Right.
But despite being older than most of his young viewers, he speaks like them. It do be like that sometimes. We do have some great comms that a recruiter
women be shopping.
Session. Oh, no. Oh, recruiters, no.
I love that. It do be like that sometimes.
Hello, fellow cool teens.
Hello, fellow youths.
Yeah. Oh, it hurts. The practice
Fortnite players be like.
Yeah.
I'm doing the little arm dance there. Good podcast.
Yeah, he's doing the Fortnite. The practices employed on Twitch by military esports teams are part of a system by which recruiters target children in unstable and or disadvantaged situations. So that part, they don't know who they're going
to
get on Twitch. I don't know. Yeah. That's kind of a strange. Well, I don't know if it's tough to hear. I don't know if that's like exactly the purpose and the heart of these recruiters. I would argue that's not the case.
This is an example of somebody being so woke that they need a nap.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
just relax a little bit. I mean, it's no secret that I'm a pretty liberal fella, but goddamn, dude. Like, going to places that have a lower socioeconomic status and saying, we're going to give you a full-time job, the opportunity to go to college whenever you get out, that's a pretty fucking good deal.
Absolutely,
I mean,
it
like
is.
People shitting on the military as a, I don't know what I would be doing if I didn't have the military, like the work ethic, the discipline, getting up and working hard every day. I learned all of those things simply by being a Marine. I get so tired of people shitting on military service because it is in vogue to do that. Or you think like now it's shifting where you look at the war in Afghanistan and you could be seen by some people on the extreme left as being like for imperialism and all that shit. you don't know about that when you're 20 years old and you're enlisting. Like, you come to this place where I recognize I am not the man that I am now without the Marine Corps. No shot I am.
Well, also, I think it's the view that these recruiters, like, are also extremely woke and know exactly what they're doing for the men.
Right.
They're just like that.
They're trying to meet a quota.
Like, they're like that Gil. They're like that salesman on The Simpsons. Come on, help old Gil out here. We really need to make a sale. They're just fucking desperate, dude.
They're doing anything. It's tough.
Now, I will say, yes, your odds are... It is unfair. Like, if you're a recruiter and you get placed in a wealthy area, you're like, fuck. If you're a recruiter who gets placed in an economically... difficult area, you're like, all right, we're in the money now, which is there is definitely a thing, but not
to and let's be honest, but if you're in a place where you have a trust fund and you're 19 years old and you have a huge family with a bunch of wealth behind them, why would you join to have a job that pays at the start $30,000 a year? They're not accepting any job that has that because they have connections and stuff.
I think there's definitely like arguments to be made on both sides, but I think this particular thing just got a little someone can do that.
You can't really knock these recruiters either, because guess what? If I'm a recruiter in my 30s and I like to play video games anyway, well, can't knock that hustle. Why not do a little recruiting while I'm gaming?
Old Gil, what's here? Wrong with that? Where are we dropping in?
What a sick job. Imagine walking into a bar, you know, because you always talk about going home on leave, and you have some dude that's sitting in an empty, like, rat hole bar that's just sitting back there. He's in his new pinks and greens that he just got. He's sitting there. The top button is kind of unbuttoned a little bit, and he's got his tie on. His medals are hanging there. He's smoking a heater, probably a Marlboro Red, sipping down on Pabst Blue Ribbon. It's only 5:30 in the evening. The bar hasn't even started really going yet.
And he's got a shot of JMO next to it, just for when he's ready.
Two of them that are empty already. That's how he gets started. He takes a long drag, and a lady walks up to him like, "Hey, soldier, what brings you in here?" A long day at the office. Was flying in on Fortnite. Next thing you know, I hit Y instead of B. Dropped straight down. Killed me and my buddy on impact. Didn't recruit a single soul.
Anyways, while an 18-year-old might watch a piece of propaganda like American Sniper once in movie theaters and then go on with their lives, here, military
propaganda
members...
Propaganda like American Sniper.
Oh, yeah, propaganda, right, yes. Yeah.
If we're going to do propaganda, let's get a real baby, first of all.
If you want to call a movie propaganda, that's exactly what The Hurt Locker was. That was, yes. I'll allow you to call that propaganda, not American Sniper.
Yes. Anyways, they go on, they might watch that propaganda and go on with it. I would say the same of Stripes. To be honest, Bill Murray, I saw that. I said, where's the
Major
recruiter?
Pain.
Please. Yeah, absolutely. What was that Goldie Hawn one?
In the Army Now.
In the Army Now. Time
Stooley, Pauly Shore. Private Benjamin.
Yes, Private Benjamin was the one that reeled me in.
Sergeant Balco, although he's a puppy.
Yeah. Well, here online, military members are streaming hawkish agitprop. I'm too stupid to know what that means, but I'm going to say some sort of propaganda. Day after day, in some cases, such as Call of Duty, these are games that the military or ex-military figures have consulted on and helped shape. What? It's okay. In these Twitch channels, recruiters are using these games to solicit young viewers to share personal information. Branches that use esports and Twitch streams to reach and recruit young viewers often rely on sleight of hand tactics, false promises, and deceptive messaging to trick them into filling out recruiting forms, I believe.
That's every recruiter, dude. That's called every recruiter. Yeah.
And not just military, even business.
Yeah.
Even people who are trying to get you to work for Merrill Lynch do that shit.
Yeah, seriously.
Not that it's right, but that's the way it rolls. The Twitter account for the U.S. Army esports team links to a sparsely populated page with "register to win" at the top. Come on, Army. No details to what they could even win. 5-year contracts, brassoing doorknobs.
But that's part of it. You give me a guaranteed $500 or a mystery box, probably taking the mystery box.
Well, the register to win comes with a sign-up form that, according to a tiny disclosure at the bottom of the page, welcomes an eventual harangue, but I'm so stupid, by an Army recruiter. Basically, they're going to start getting calls asking you to come on into the Army. It allows people as young as 12 to submit the forum, but they can only be contacted once they're 16. But I believe they'll hold on to it.
Yeah, that's a little much. Like getting 12-year-olds to sign up is a little much.
Yes.
Chaps, that is no different than Saban giving an 8th grader a scholarship.
I'm saying, disagree.
Hey. I think yeah, it is a little bit different. The Army's channel repeatedly presents viewers with an automated chat prompt saying they could win an Xbox Elite Series 2 controller.
Like, imagine. I imagine my kid's 15. 3 years ago, she gets contacted by Sergeant McGamer and wants her contact number about joining the Army. I'm like, what? Her? She hasn't completed a task in her life.
I just picture somebody sitting in the desert fucking hating their job in the Army and thinking back to 3 years before when they tried to win an Xbox Series 2 controller and being like, God damn it. Fuck.
That's better than what we got, though. We tried. All I got was a ditty bag.
So anyway, but, you know, all
first
these...
First class ticket to Iraq.
Another classic recruiter thing here. All these click here and give us some information to win XYZ. There's never any additional mention of a contest, odds, total number of winners, or when the drawing will occur. So it is just...
It's like a military version of a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, you join the military, you're all a winner.
You get a little bit of tummy tea, and you get a couple of Scentsy candles.
Yeah. And there you go. Nice. That's it. So though this writer at The Nation, yeah, it was a little like snobbly woke-ish, but also there was points in there where I was reading it where I was like, he's not wrong. Sure, not wrong.
I knew they were going to turn Kate. Yeah. I knew it.
Absolutely. Old Gil here, dropping in.
You throw in a couple pro-China things on there, and Kate's sold completely.
That's it. I'm in. I'm all in. My goodness. But
the recruiting game, it hasn't changed. It's just changed its home address. So instead of, you know, at the local strip mall, now it's on Twitch. That's all this is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wait till they start going on Pornhub.
Uh-oh.
All right, let's move on to save rounds and alibis. We'll start with you, Kyle. What do you got?
I got two today. First one, little Stolen Valor Katie quiz. You're reading about the Bonhomme Richard, and you said the right side of the ship. What is the right side of the ship?
Starboard.
In Navy talk?
Wow.
Whoa. And of course, that makes the left side.
Port.
Dang. Wow.
My favorite kind of beer.
Hey. Hmm. Oh, okay. So now we know why Kate remembers.
Yeah.
And second one got a lot of great reviews. I just want to give Cons the rules for reading his reviews for this week.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You have to read them word for word or else we'll do you next week. So you'll just, this will just be an endless cycle.
It'll be perpetual until I do it.
Okay. Yeah. So all you got to read word for word. And put some spirit behind it, all right? None of this lazy, just, I'm going to be sad now because I have to say things.
Mm-hmm.
Put emotion. I want emotion. I want spirit. I want it to be good. Give the people what they want, all right?
Okay.
Put some Tabasco on this MRE omelet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's all I got.
Okay.
So, chaps? Chaps?
Cons?
Yeah.
All right. Before I get to the reviews, I have a few. Number one, we mentioned Matilda. There's a good documentary on HBO right now called
About
Showbiz.
Matilda?
About showbiz kids. About child actors. And she's one of the people featured in the documentary. Interesting documentary.
Anything about Blossom?
No, she was not mentioned. Sorry. I was watching Twister the other day, and it occurred to me, Kate, you look like Helen Hunt in Twister.
She's got earmuffs, everyone. Great tits.
That's true.
I wasn't mentioning that, but okay.
She's a hot patoots in that video, right? Well, yeah.
There she is.
Take it.
Who's
that man? Who's that man?
Bill Pullman?
Bill Pullman strapped to a metal thing by a belt, just getting sucked up into a Twister hole together. I'm not mad at it.
So I don't know. I was like, that looks like Kate. Anyway. Two more and then I'll get to the reviews. The new cadets showed up to West Point and there's one part of your first day where you have to go report to, they call it the cadet in the red sash. And that's basically, you just get screamed at and they had to do it behind these like screens. I saw pictures and I was like, I feel like the mask would have been enough.
It's like going to a check cashing place that doesn't have a little bit of a bulletproof glass in front. You got to remove that. You want to be alive.
Yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And just because I'm a masochist in some ways, I'm going up to Nantucket this weekend. So if you guys have anything to say about that, go ahead.
Nothing to say about it. Par for the course. Par for the course, pastels, I guess. Pal. Yeah, look at you.
Have fun, pal.
What do you do?
Okay. All right.
Been a while. I will be riding my bicycle to the Rockaways in Queens, so enjoy your time in Nantucket. Very cool.
I wonder if Dave will have me over for a swim. We'll see. I don't know.
I doubt it.
Probably. Probably not. Okay, if I had to guess.
Oh, you got to get your reviews.
All right, here we go. Do you want me to also read who they're from, Kyle?
You can. It's not necessary. They'll know who.
Okay. This gentleman says, West Point is cool and all, I suppose, but I should have gone to Norwich. That would have been a real challenge. Well, Harry, yeah, you should have. You should have went to Norwich. Sorry. All right. Just a delight. This is easily my favorite Army football podcast. Cons is the true pride and dream of every heart in gray. And Chaps always says he wishes Marines commissioned out of the best academy. His name for West Point.
I do say that.
Kate's funny and loves to save jokes about horny sex goofing for when my wife or kids walk by while I listen. And add all that to Kyle's super high energy, and you've got yourself one stellar podcast.
That's not necessary. That was good. That was mean.
This is okay. This would be 5 stars, but the takes from that nasty West Point graduate are absolute garbage. Okay. Mm. E3 Mafia approved. Adjusts salmon polo and slips into a familiar and well-worn pair of leather loafers. Oh my, yes. It indeed appears the enlisted are quite rowdy on this Apple podcast.
Oh no. The enlisted are rowdy.
Oh no, this won't do at all. Not at all. I'll be making a list of these roughing enlisted in the show's comments on social media and making sure they know the severity of all these integrity violations. All right, this one's from a dude who chirps me on Twitter all the time. Whatever, I'll play by the rules. Connor, stand Navy out to sea. Fight our battle cry. We'll never change our course. So vicious foe, steer shy. Why? Roll out the TNT anchors away. Sail on to victory and sink their bones to Davy Jones. Hooray. Anchors away, my boys, anchors away. Farewell to foreign shores. We sail at break of day. A. Through our last night ashore. Drink to the foam until we meet once more. Here's wishing you a happy voyage home. Blue of the mighty deep. Gold of God's great sun. Let these our colors be till our time be done. On seven seas we learn Navy's stern call. Faith, courage, and service true with honor. That stinks.
Got him.
Beautiful.
CBT, the only podcast I actually listen to. Cons, can you loan me some cash? I mean, you got that sweet officer life going for you.
True.
So, slide in my DMs there, pal. Captain Cons, he seems like every platoon leader and company commander I've ever had. Pastels, boat shoes, and any reason to golf never stands a chance. Go Army, beat Navy. I like that one. Why did one of them just get deleted?
That's kind of a repeat. Just keep going.
Okay. Love Cons, but... Who doesn't love Cons?
Love Cons is
the man
butt.
Is a classic loafer.
He's
wearing
got a
pastel clothing.
According to previous CBT guest Trace Atkins.
Yeah. Cons is a classic loafer wearing pastel clothing and golfing as much as possible. Cons should have known about Kate's made-up basement at West Point for the Slackers. After all, he never started on the football field. That's mean.
I like that one.
Review for Cons. Army may be the best branch. West Point is far inferior to Norwich. Yeah, okay.
Kings Norwich?
Point. It's another military academy up in like New Hampshire, I think. Kings Point is superior to West Point. Cons is cool. Everyone here is giving Mr. Cons crap, but I want to go on record saying he brings a level of class and perspective that helps balance out the whole show against Chaps and Kate. If I ever meet Cons, I hope I can buy him a beer.
Lovely.
Well, that's very nice, and you may.
All right, great I think job, that's pal. Good. I think that's enough.
That's more kindness.
I expected those to be worse.
All right, Kate, what do you got?
The other week we were talking about the U.S. Navy's first black female tactical fighter pilot, but we didn't have the info or anything. It's Lieutenant J.G. Madeline Swagel. So the
what does Lieutenant J.G. mean, Kate?
Jet getter.
Junior grade.
Okay. I knew that. but she's getting her wings of gold this month. She completed the Tactical Airstrike Aviator syllabus, and she's on her way. Bravo, Zulu, well done. So, pretty cool stuff. I have to say, that's fucking badass. They need, definitely, her milestone comes more than 45 years after Rosemary Mariner became the first woman to fly a tactical fighter jet in 74. It wasn't until the late 1980s that Brenda Robinson became the first African-American woman to earn her wings of gold to become a Navy flight instructor. And an investigation in 2018 found that out of 1,404 F-18 Hornet pilots, just 26 were black and 33 were women. Less than 2% of all pilots assigned to jet platforms are black. But last month, the Navy announced that the formation of the Task Force One Navy to address issues of racism, sexism, destructive biases, and other impacts. I think going forward, we're going to see, though it's well overdue, more and more diversity and badass jobs. I think that's going to be an excellent thing for the military. And I look forward to seeing all the other ladies busting through the blue, is what they say in the, and when you're in a plane and you get past the clowns, I was enlisted. Chaps.
Kate, if you, hold on real quickly. Kate, if you could go back and fly any aircraft, what do you think you'd fly?
What are those big old goofy ones that they cram people into them? There's like a big flag hanging down usually.
Well said. I don't really have anything this week for Safe Rounds. We'll look forward to seeing you guys on Tuesday. Have a good, safe weekend, everybody. It's on the retreat.